Hello, nerds, and welcome to the Engadget podcast. I'm your host, Terrence O'Brien. Joining me to my left, managing editor, Dana Wollman.
Buenos dias.
Hi, getting all fancy and international on us, huh? You've been studying?
I took 12 years of Spanish.
Really?
I know how to say good morning.
That's, 12 years?
Yeah.
That's wow.
Learned something.
Pretty impressive. Literally all I know how to do in Spanish is call people really offensive things and order food.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Covers a few bases.
Yeah, the most important things. By the way, that other voice you hear is reviews editor Sherlyn Lowe. Good morning.
As much as it pains me to say this, nice haircut.
Ah, thanks. Yes, not last week, but the week before, I was editor in desperate need of a haircut. I am no longer that. Now I'm just editor in desperate need of sleep.
Well, that's all of us, I think.
That's a pretty consistent thing, I want to say, across the board.
Of all of us.
We're usually pretty sleep-deprived for one reason or another.
The upshot, at least, that we have had a long week, which means we have a lot to talk about. But
yes.
It's been a busy week.
It's been crazy. Yeah.
Yes. So do you want to just, like, jump right to it?
Mm-hmm.
Let's start off the week, as we do every time, with Flame Wars. For those who don't know how this works, we are going to debate the biggest topics of the week. Dana and Sherlyn, you are going to have 20 seconds each to make your opening statements, at which point I will offer you a brief rebuttal. At the end, I will declare a winner based purely on the strength of your arguments, and I will remind our viewers and listeners that this is purely an academic exercise and not necessarily a reflection of these people's personal opinions, although that will not stop me from attacking them as such.
When do you not attack us, honestly, with your face?
Wow. You know,
just being honest.
You're really like
she's going
all
hard
in.
Today.
Be careful, Dana.
She goes pretty hard in general, but I'd get your fists up there, Dana.
She's not gonna fuck with me.
No, I'm really not. I'm really not.
Mess with me.
I'm really worried now. I'm like no.
Also, that's how you know Dana is sleep deprived is that she dropped an F bomb in like the first 5 minutes.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. Good morning.
Good morning.
So let's start with the most fun and probably controversial one, because let's like go hard right from the beginning.
Oh, okay.
Let me pull up my timer first. So Edward Snowden is officially asking to be pardoned for his leaking of NSA documents to the press. I'm just going to let Dana go ahead and start making the case for why he should be pardoned.
The policies, the U.S. policies over the past 3 years, changes to U.S. policies have already confirmed that Snowden deserves a pardon. Congress has taken action. Obama issued, called together an independent review board, which confirmed or backed up a lot of Snowden's, I'm not very articulate. That was an easy one, guys.
That wasn't too bad. That was pretty good.
Oh, my God.
You actually seemed prepared
Finally,
for that.
Finally, someone who's, like, more long-winded than I am on these things.
Hashtag free Snowden.
All right. It was 2 seconds.
Sherlyn?
I'm going to lose.
Don't get too...
Look at Dana's face. Oh, my God. I'm terrified. Like, oh, my God. Okay.
All right. Why should Snowden not be pardoned?
Academically, Snowden, you can't argue that Snowden has broken the law here. He has, you know, leaked all these documents that were classified. He's basically leaking stolen documents, too. And the first course of action I question was, why didn't he go higher up to his employers or whoever's above them? And also, I question timing of this. His movie's coming out soon. And I'll rebut later.
Okay.
Can we have time, too, for, like... With a lovely time to say more things.
Yeah, well, you get your brief rebuttal now.
Yeah, Terrence.
This is now, you've had your 20 seconds. I got to hit my buzzer. I feel accomplished. And now we can have
okay,
like a
good, because I have more to say.
Go ahead, Dana.
All right, so in addition to changes in policies and tacit acknowledgments from Congress and Obama himself, former Attorney General Eric Holder admitted that Snowden deserves a pardon. A formal pardon itself would be the last formal admission that Snowden's actions were morally and ethically correct, even if they didn't follow the letter of the law.
I question, as first of all, can we just say Dana picked all the pros and cons this
You
this
can
time
bet
around.
I was the kind of kid who cheated at Duck Hunt too. Go right up to the screen with the gun.
Dana just went the easy way. This, let's be real, this isn't
shoot down Sherlyn's points.
Oh, God. God, man. Yeah. I'm already on the losing end of this. But anyway, but I want to say she also brought up a good point that the timing of the pardon is kind of questionable because, you know, Snowden's biopic by Oliver Stone is coming out this week. And ACLU announced Monday that they were going to start working on asking for his pardon. And then Snowden himself came out and asked President Obama for it. The reasoning itself is kind of flimsy. He's saying that, you know, a pardon is reasonable because the law was laws sometimes are made in error or something. I don't know the whole entire argument that he's making.
That's the gist of it. He's saying that the pardons exist to create exceptions for the law where perhaps morally or ethically it might be in the wrong or that particular conviction might be in the wrong.
And that's fair, but it's also like, why is that the reason and why is it now? Like, why did you wait so long if that was the exact – nothing has changed, right? If that is the reason, it's not changed since the very first day he leaked the documents. I also wonder what a pardon's going to do for him, like what he can come back into the U.S. and then be prosecuted by – not prosecuted, but like chased down by the people who want him dead, like harder and easier, like makes him easier to find, I guess.
Well, I mean, let's start, Dana, with this idea that, you know, the timing does seem kind of cynical. I mean, he's had all of these years to formally seek a pardon, and it just so happens that he's going to ask the week his movie comes out.
It's somewhat cynical, but at this time, maybe not specifically this week, but at this time, Obama is not up for re-election, so he doesn't need to worry as much about pissing anyone off.
I mean, he hasn't been up for re-election for the better part of 4 years now.
This is true. I can't argue with that.
Yes.
I can't argue with that.
You handed that to me on a platter, kind of.
I kind of did. No, I can't speak for the timing. Yeah. But I can say that pardons exist for cases like these. A convicted mass murderer, mass rapist is not going to get a pardon. Pardons really are meant for people like Snowden, whose wrongdoings perhaps fell into a gray area where the morality of their actions didn't necessarily overlap with the illegality. And that's not a very elegant way of saying what I mean, but point is,
he did it with good intentions, is what you're saying.
And with net positive results for the nation and the world, and with zero evidence that any individuals were harmed as a result of his disclosures.
So I have one more question for you, Sherlyn, before I kind of make my judgment here and I declare a winner. Do you not think it's at all odd that they would continue to refuse to pardon him at this point, considering that President Obama has pardoned far more people than any president before him? I forget the exact number, but it's a pretty stunning margin. At this point, I mean, and granted, most of those are low-level drug offenders, but it's clear that he doesn't have issue with the idea of pardoning criminals in general.
Well, I don't think Snowden has openly asked for a pardon in the past, has he?
That I'm not sure of. So. I'd have to double check.
I mean, he might have off. You know, handily
this is at least the most concentrate. Right. This is at least the most direct effort.
I don't know if he formally has, but has said that he's remained hopeful that he can one day come home and not have to be tried.
Mm. Right. And I think that was like in an interview with, I think it was John Oliver or something. But so I don't think that it's a continuing refusal to pardon. Right. I think Obama could definitely make his choice now, especially like Dana said, given that he doesn't really have to worry about re-elections anymore. I also agree that compared to like drug dealers and a lot of different types of offenders that have been pardoned, his so-called his offenses aren't as terrible. He hasn't harmed anyone, like Dana said, but it's also a precedent, right? Like that they will be setting in that what are other whistleblowers going to do? It encourages kind of bad behavior. Your first step shouldn't be to leak to the press, and this might signal to other people in the future that if they have a classified document, the first thing they're going to do is go to the press with it. Mm. I really don't want that to happen.
So I'm going to admit this is kind of a tough one on a personal level. I don't know what I believe, honestly.
Oh my God, really, if you're going to pick Dana, I'm going to kill you. I see a D, and I don't know if that means draw or Dana.
I think we know what that means.
It means Dana. Oh, I'm going to get murdered later. Ultimately, here's what I'm going to say. Is that you were too unsure of yourself, Berlin. You should have just gone all in from the beginning, and you waffled a little bit.
You had it out on me.
This is a debate competition.
All told, the idea that you were not good at role playing conservatives, the right wing might be a compliment for you, depending
on. That pause was a little too long. I was like, wait, what do you mean? LARPing? Or? Okay. I'm going to go all in for the next one.
Yeah, you just got to act like you believe.
I don't want to be a belligerent dude.
I think this next one.
You don't want to be belligerent? No. You told me my face was an attack on you at the top of the
show.
How is
that not belligerent? That's rational.
It's how she says hello.
Yes.
I think this next one, you'll have.
Oh, man.
You may have an easier time.
It will be easier, yeah. Okay.
There are more real pros and cons.
Yes, that's very real.
Okay. So this next one, our second topic, is about Link NYC and their 400 kiosks they've set up around the city to provide a Wi-Fi hotspot and other services through tablets and such to the public. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, and probably predictably, this did not go as well as they had planned, and they were in the company's own press release about this after they shut down certain portions of the service, said, "We also know that some users have been monopolizing the Link tablets and using them, quote, inappropriately." So, Sherlyn, you think the company did the right thing by freezing some of these functions. Your 20 seconds starts now.
First of all, they're only freezing the tablet part of it, the browser part of it that has people gathering around these kiosks and basically causing a great obstruction and foot traffic. Also, Dan is going to say that it's a very bad look for the city to shut down these because of perhaps homeless people using it for porn. Let's just be real. That's what inappropriate means. But that's not all it's being used for.
Dana?
Well, it is homeless people, and this company doesn't get to decide really who their users are. And if the problem is porn, just block inappropriate sites the way planes do with in-flight Wi-Fi. And also, there are laws on the books preventing public lewd contact. So if public lewd acts, so if they're masturbating in front of the tablets, they'll get arrested.
All right,
Sherlyn, your rebuttal.
My rebuttal is that porn isn't the biggest problem I see here. I see the tablets as being a huge distraction for street traffic, for people who are walking on the street, whatever. It's like when it's already New York City is such a tourist hub that's got a lot of people standing around with maps and whatnot and like blocking my way, and I'm an angry New Yorker. I'm like, get the out of my way. And these are just going to cause more obstruction. Just get in the way. Oh, I'm so mad I can't even use words right now.
I mean, there's nothing more in New York than seeing someone masturbating in public.
This is also true.
That's not true. I've never seen someone masturbate.
Yeah, I haven't either.
In my whole life.
Really?
No. Not have you?
Many times.
Where are you? I want to go there.
I have seen at least three people masturbating on a train and at least one person masturbating on a street corner.
What trains are you taking?
Oof.
I've never seen that.
Never in my nearly 32 years.
Seen it on the N or R, I can't remember, and I want to say the F or J?
I think they see you and they want to feel better immediately, so they're like...
Yeah.
Sherlyn.
Burn! But, okay, back to the topic. I'm sorry. Back to the topic. First of all, Link NYC isn't stopping the gigabit Wi-Fi thing that they're still offering. You can still look up these directions, have the maps function, look up your nearby attractions, and even use your phone on the Wi-Fi. So I know that that's kind of limiting the use of the free Wi-Fi to people who actually can afford to own these devices, but that's much more mobile. It doesn't have people gathering around one thing in the middle of the street. You can find your way to a table or a bench and sit down and get out of the way before you use your phone to access that sweet, sweet Wi-Fi.
Well, I think also a point you kind of skipped over real quick, and I want to throw this to Dana, is they are turning off the browser function, but they're leaving a lot of the other services working. People can't sit down and watch Pornhub on the tablets anymore. But they can still call 911. They can still place free phone calls. They can still get directions on a map. So all of that stuff still works.
That would help some people, I think, especially it would help people whose batteries died. That happens to me sometimes, or to tourists. But otherwise, if it's me on my commute in the city, I have a working phone. I don't need the service, probably. A lot of the people who might need the service, or especially the devices in the kiosk, are people who don't own devices and are otherwise struggling to find internet access. They might otherwise go to a library, and I think that is an acceptable choice. And no, they should not have an expectation of finding porn in the library or the kiosk either. But again, there, I think there are solutions to public porn viewing other than shutting off a whole browser access for people who otherwise would struggle to get online like the rest of the world.
I'm going to go ham here, but that's not the only reason they're shutting down the tablets, right? They're, I mean, they didn't say outrightly that that's the only or main reason. There's a lot of other, you know, reasons this is causing a problem. Also, this is also a temporary shutdown. They're going to probably bring it back up and possibly put in the filters you mentioned. It could. I still don't think that's a good idea. You're in New York City, for God's sake.
The other problems, really, you think, are that people are just taking up too much physical space on the sidewalk?
For me, sorry, that's like such a personal problem of mine. Like, I hate.
Don't you get mad then at food trucks?
I do. Yeah, I get mad at
so
most.
You don't
things
like
the
dirty
street.
Water hot dog vendors either.
No,
I assume.
I don't like most things on the street really. As long as it's a person and it's in my way, then like
that. I agree with you on.
Thank you.
The sidewalk should be home to fast walkers.
Yes, there should be a fast lane. Can we just say there should be?
I
a
agree
fast
on that
lane. Thank you.
See,
keep right, or you're not right.
And you thought we wouldn't get along today.
Yeah. That's pretty good. I'm glad we can all agree that there should be lanes for foot traffic, including a fast lane. There should be like a real New Yorker lane and a tourist lane, basically.
Yes.
And you can even put the kiosk in the tourist lane because that's probably who's using it.
Yeah. I am going to give this one to Dana. That was very good. It was very close.
I've given up on this show. I've given up.
Not even being condescending. I think Sherlyn made a valiant effort.
She did. I think you make a lot of good points.
Stuck to my guns, guys.
I think ultimately though, Dana's right that it's a bad look in their approach to it. And while maybe they will have these fixes and these, you know, I do think it's absurd, by the way, that there was no content filtering whatsoever from the beginning. Like, this is a thing that's on every plane, in every public school. Like, you can filter. We have it at our jobs. There are certain websites you cannot visit on your work computer. Like, it's a really easy thing to implement. If you go to Starbucks, there are sites that you can't visit on their Wi-Fi. So that fact that that was not done is sort of strange to me.
Did I tell you that on our plane ride together last week, I actually did try to read Playboy for the articles, and
sure,
it wouldn't let me.
Oh, really?
Sidebar. But yeah.
Doesn't Playboy not do nude photos anymore? Isn't that like a thing? Didn't they change that?
Of course we wouldn't know, and of course you wouldn't know. I don't know.
I'm derailing things, but anyway.
I'm pretty sure that's true. I'm being told that is true.
We're being told by someone completely.
So there's no reason for airlines to block Playboy anymore. Change that shit. Another solution is you just save that article to Pocket and then download
it. And it should be allowed in New York City Wi-Fi kiosks.
Yeah.
Sure. Whatever. Dana won. I don't care anymore. I really don't.
All right. This is your last chance to
score
a point.
You look really nice today, Sherlyn.
Thanks. That's not a win either. I look nice every day.
Wow.
Unlike Terrence.
Oh.
I'm just going to keep winning over you in life.
I mean, most people do.
Can I just point out, Dana just picked all the easy viewpoints on this. She's going to win. Like, let's be real.
I'm cheating at Duck Hunt today. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's okay. What can I do? You're my mom.
This is your last opportunity to score a point.
This is the worst one.
And I'm gonna say I don't envy you for having to make this argument.
You guys, I'm being bullied to
can
death.
We just make these unscored? Seriously. Don't like.
Well, I mean, here's the thing: is the leaderboard is fun and
it's fun.
Yeah, it's.
I don't care. I don't care about being at the bottom of the leaderboard. It's fine. I'll find a fun way to.
You're not at
myself.
The bottom.
Well, I share the bottom with, like, Gorman or something, right?
Yeah, you, Michael Gorman, our editor-in-chief.
I hope it stays that way.
I also think it's fun, by the way, and we do need to move on.
We're
running out of time, but Michael Gorman is a lawyer and also
and
apparently
and can't
the
win at this,
worst
this game.
At debating this game.
That's why he switched jobs. Guys, shh, I didn't say that. Oh, Michael Gorman, don't listen to... Cut this out. Oh, my God, I'm dead. Fired. Okay, let's get on.
One.
Come
listen.
On. God.
So the Samsung Note 7 keeps exploding.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Where were you?
They're doing a voluntary recall. But if you don't want to send your phone back in and get a replacement at some point, apparently, Samsung is issuing a software update that just caps the battery charge at 60%. Sherlyn, why is this an acceptable workaround to the problem of exploding batteries?
is acceptable because it's fast, it works, it's the best way to get it out to everyone really quickly, and it's for the people who want to hold on to their phones and not give it back in. Done! Suck your 20 seconds!
That was well under 20 seconds, and actually, fairly compelling argument. Dana, your rebuttal?
Okay, first of all, I'm going to give Sherlyn one and say it's a good Band-Aid solution. Maybe? I don't know. Devil's advocate. But you know what? Samsung should really just recall all the phones and bring them back, return them with a full battery charge that is also safe. One of the things we like best about the Note 7 was it had long battery life. We like it better if it were safe, like competing phones.
That's pretty good. I enjoy that you have to, like, watch me as I reach for the button and you slowly
see it. No.
It's too much power for Terrence. Someone needs to change that. I hate you.
All the power.
Just stop it.
So I guess, Dana, let me ask you a quick question before we go back to Sherlyn for a rebuttal, which is, you know, if you just want to have access to a phone, like, should you be expected to be phoneless for however many days while you wait for a replacement from Samsung?
I'm not always a black and white thinker, but in this case, why is it being up to, why, if it, is it, it's, for me, it's either, is the phone safe or unsafe? If it's unsafe, why is this decision being left up to users in any way? Why is Samsung just not taking back the safe phones and replacing them with equally feature-rich Note 7s that also have long battery life but that won't blow up in anyone's face?
I wonder if they just don't know which ones are safe yet. It's like it seems random enough that it's hitting certain people and not other people, right? Or have they made a new batch that they know for sure is going to work?
I think the fact that we're even asking these questions reflects badly on Samsung and also the authorities that should be handling.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a bet on them, too. Yes.
Well, I mean, how does Samsung forcefully recall every phone? I think that's ultimately, for me, that's sort of the question here, is capping the battery charge at 60% is not a permanent great solution necessarily. But if you don't, you know, unlike a lot of people, unlike us, don't have access to a bottomless well of review phones that they can pull up at a moment's notice should they shatter their phone.
Is the argument, I'm really doing both my lines and Sherlyn's lines, but is this a good solution if only so that this software update is not optional? It would be automatic, right?
Yes.
So we don't even know if it's safe yet, but what if we begin with the premise that it is safe? Would that at least keep people in check who otherwise would have shrugged their shoulders at the recall and not turned in their phones?
Yeah, that's basically it.
That's maybe the one potentially good upside to it, but
that's
what
I was going
to
say anyway. It's okay if you're saying my lines for me.
Right. So, I mean, can we agree that basically Sherlyn would win if the question were it's a good Band-Aid solution and a good way to protect people from their worst selves? It's not a good enough solution as
like long term,
as a consolation prize.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think ultimately the question is, which of those questions are we asking? And I don't think Samsung is pretending that it's a permanent solution, are
they? Yeah, it's not. It's not a permanent solution. It's a quick fix to an issue that's putting people's lives at risk.
Yeah.
This is necessary.
At least my understanding is basically this is, we know not everybody's going to return the phone.
Yeah, some people want to live dangerously.
This will keep at least those people who, for whatever reason, refuse to send it back from harming themselves.
It's like the don't be an asshole automatic software update.
Yeah.
So Dana already made your decision for you, right? She was like, if that were the question Sherlyn wanted.
I totally hand this one to Sherlyn.
Yes, because she felt bad for me, honestly. Let's be real.
No, I think that was, once you started talking, I realized that it was actually a much easier debate than I thought it was going to be. Once you frame the question,
so I did
properly.
A good job.
Yes,
I did a good job. Oh my god! Oh okay. My god! I touched you.
You did.
God. Oh god. Okay. All right. We're done.
Are you done yet? Do you need some Purell?
No. It's okay.
You sure?
Take a shower.
Napkins.
Yeah, maybe. It's okay. I'm sweating, you guys. I'm so stressed out. Okay, let's
move on.
I lost today, but in the grand scheme of things, I won.
You got a point at least.
Yeah.
And I think that does keep you above Michael Gorman.
That's all I want to do.
And, you know, which does mean that unless he gets a shot to get on the podcast pretty soon and fix that.
We don't want him back.
We don't want him back.
We're going to have to embarrass him somehow on stage at CES, and I'm super excited about it.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited, too. Can we make him shave?
He might do that on his own.
I mean, he's shaved right now. I don't think he currently has a beard.
I forget he's not you. Anyway, yeah.
He's not permanently bearded. So I think it's time to move on to our big topic of the week with group chat.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a special all Apple edition of the podcast last week. And while I hate to double down on that Appleness, we did publish a whole lot of Apple reviews this week, and we have more coming.
Mm-hmm.
So it only makes sense.
And then we'll be done for a little while.
Yeah.
Assuming new iPads and laptops don't come out, which they might.
Fingers crossed they don't.
Yeah.
So yeah, I figured it only makes sense to kind of revisit that for the week now that we've gotten our hands on the new iPhone, the Apple Watch, and all of this other fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of see, you know, check the lay of the land. So I'm not going to lie, I have not played with the new iPhone, so I'm going to rely on you, Dana, to kind of tell me a bit about it and walk me through.
You haven't even, so we actually have samples in the office of both the new, I'm going to start easy for you.
Okay.
Of the new.
Assume I know nothing, because I know nothing.
Yeah, we do that.
All right, I'll go easy on you. So we have units in the office of both the new shiny-ish, glossy jet black finish and the new matte black. The jet black has been a bit of a source of controversy just because although it's new, it picks up smudges very easily. Apple's like, hey, you just wipe it off. HP said the same thing about the Spectre 13.
So that is one thing I'm going to say. I haven't had a chance to play with them, as I said, but I did see that phone in Chris Velasco's hand.
It looks pretty dinged up.
Yeah, like after a day, it looked like he'd already owned that phone for about 2 months.
He's a guy who he loves phones and therefore treats them well, he tries.
Yeah, he tries to keep them.
But my thing, too, it picks up smudges and scratches. I don't like that it's so 3GS-y. It's iPhone 3G-ish in a way that isn't cute to me. I personally do what you guys want. I would get the matte black if I were in the market for an iPhone.
Matte black definitely looked a lot better when I saw it. Yeah.
I mean, it's got kind of like a rounded, super shiny, high-polished back and everything, the jet black one, right?
Yeah.
So, like, it's, yeah.
Plus, I use a case anyway, always, so it doesn't really matter to me. Hey, look. Hey.
I use a case.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Bonehead doesn't use a case.
Exactly. Am I the only person who, like, literally never uses a case, ever?
Like Dana said, Bonehead.
Yeah. I mean, I've only ever broken one phone. Well, two phones.
Don't look
but
at me.
But one of those was on purpose. It doesn't count.
Okay.
I won't derail the conversation.
Yeah,
keep going.
Yeah.
So otherwise, physically, right?
Yeah.
It's an iPhone. I mean, there's the whole headphone jack thing.
Yep.
So let's talk about that real quick, because I'm sort of interested in this. And yeah, we had the Moto Z didn't have a headphone jack either. And is there another phone that was also missing the headphone jack, or is those the only two?
These
right
are the
now?
First two.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
presumably not the last.
Yeah.
Is it as much of a deal breaker as a lot of people fear?
It wasn't for Chris, our reviewer, and I've been reading some other reviews from other sites that we trust, and it didn't seem to be for them either. I think it was a big enough of annoyance that it made the cons list on our review card and a lot of other people's review cards, but it did not stop us or other people from giving the iPhone pretty strong reviews.
Yeah.
Does it
especially
come?
Since the adapter comes in the box, and so do Lightning headphones. So
okay, that was going to be my question.
Yeah.
Does the adapter come in the box?
The whole idea that this is a scheme to make on Apple's part to make you spend more money is not necessarily true. You can listen to your music out of the box using either the headphones they provide or the ones you already own.
Although I recommend you don't use the headphones that come in the box.
Yeah, my main concern with the Lightning-based headphones is that you can't charge and listen to music at the same time, which some people do at my work desk.
I don't, but I don't know if you do.
Yeah, I do that when I'm at work. Like, I want to have it charged and still listen to music when people are being loud.
So I have a question about that, because that's something that many people have also brought up to
me.
Devendra Hardwar, one of our editors, also said the same thing, that, like, I want to be able to charge my phone while I'm listening to my music.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems like a really bizarre use case to me. Like, aren't you sitting at a computer at that point then?
But it's easier to pull up Spotify on my phone. It's easier to control the playback of my music just by doing this. And that's
but you can do that on a desktop. Like, that works.
I use my mouse.
It would be an issue for me. The one time I think it would be an issue were if I were at an airport gate trying to charge and top up my phone, but also kill time and listen to music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was in a cab last night when I was at 1% battery and I really wanted to have my music on as well, so I plugged in my headphones.
So it does happen. Yeah,
it does happen
okay.
a bunch.
Fair enough.
Ha!
I've just very rarely, if ever, encountered that use case.
I think we've already. I think I've already read about an adapter that would allow you to do both. But it's never a good sign when a product comes out and another third party immediately releases an accessory to solve a problem you've created.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, other than that, I have no huge problem with taking away the headphone jack. I'd rather use just the wireless, the AirPods, actually. And I know Velasco reviewed them already, and I was reading his. I love the idea at first, until I saw that the touch controls aren't as, like, fully functional as I had hoped for them to be.
He did not love those, right?
He gave them a score, I believe, of 79. It was in the high 70s, the score that we gave. Which suggests that we wouldn't go so far as to say we don't recommend them.
Yeah.
79, you are
Yeah,
correct.
Really what he's saying is hold off on this first generation, which is what we've said of other certain other first generation Apple products, including the original Apple Watch, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks the concept has potential.
I agree.
I agree, too, and it's so many companies are working on it. Yeah. Apple might not be the first to deliver a truly great set of wireless earbuds, but somebody is going to get it right, I believe.
So... I'm going to seriously question our score on this right now on the podcast. What makes these worthy of this? Like here's the thing is, I get that you think that Velasco thinks they have potential, in that they're wireless headphones and nobody's like truly wireless Bluetooth headphones and nobody's done that really well yet. But I'm reading the cons here for our review and it says the audio quality is mediocre. The design is not for everybody, and they're expensive. Like they're $160.
They are expensive.
Like I can get a pair of Bluetooth headphones that are much better audio quality, won't fall out of my ears the moment I like tilt my head to the side, and don't make it look like I've stuck Q-tips in my ears for the same price, if not cheaper.
So not for you then.
Yeah. Well, they're obviously not for me.
Yeah.
I guess my thing is I'm not convinced by the pro, and I want somebody to sell me on this.
I think what you're haggling over ultimately is a handful of points. I think even if we gave it a harsher score, it would have been in the 70s, maybe lower 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm just looking at the curve of Engadget scores and the way we. I am
not currently staring at the curve. Also, how often do we review headphones? Not very often, right?
Sometimes.
Well, so there's been kind of an emergence of truly wireless earbuds, right? And in that space, it's new. So for Apple to kind of deliver something that is as finished as the AirPods, it's already kind of impressive. They are synced well. Some of the ones that exist in the market right now don't. They sometimes drop in and out with Bluetooth and stuff. These, you can at least expect them to work well with your iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that Apple will definitely have working.
Well, I mean, I think the one of the selling points, I think, that is good is the integration with the iPhone and the iOS. Yo, when you open up the weird...
box.
Yeah, the like... the dental floss looking box.
Yeah.
The little card pops up to tell you that the headphones are connected, what the charge is, all
it's
that.
Fast, right?
Like that's really nice.
Yeah.
It's super impressive. I mean, I don't know if that integration is worth $160 to me.
Right, and that's a con. That's for sure a con. But overall, you can't deny it. It's a good product that's worthy of a good score. We've also reviewed products that are just dumpster fires, and they deserve lower scores than 70.
And this
right,
is,
I mean, we
this
we,
is not a dumpster fire. To be
this
clear.
Is not a dumpster.
It's not a dumpster fire. It's a little overpriced.
It is.
The audio quality isn't bad. It's just not really much better than a standard set of ear pods
that you could get maybe at the same time.
And the design thing is kind of a knock, but also somewhat comes down to personal preference. And I also think certain people can pull it off better than others.
I like them. I actually like them. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people were joking about how it looks like a cigarette butt sticking out of your ears. But
I haven't heard a cigarette butt. I've heard a Q-tip. I've heard an electric toothbrush.
Oh, okay.
The electric toothbrush one is actually super convincing when you see it side by side.
True. But, I mean, I don't hate the design. I know that there are people who are, but I like the familiarity of it. It's basically like my earbuds right now, except without the wires, and that's very handy.
I guess I don't know. I'm very skeptical of these things, obviously.
Sure.
I think this is to me one of like the more obvious missteps I think that Apple has made in general in recent years. And I am admittedly also not the hugest Apple fanboy to begin with. So, I mean, I'm looking for somebody to give me the hard sell here because I'm just not convinced by the middle.
I can't. I mean, the same way I couldn't quite give you the hard sell on the original Apple Watch, and that got a similar score, and I think mm-hmm. we had similar feelings where this has promise, but you wouldn't yep. necessarily want to spend your own money on the first generation.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm.
Watch. I fully agree with Velasco. It's a wait for the second gen thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or at least a new type of software update that makes it more useful.
Right.
But there's more exciting products, though. I'm more excited about the Apple Watch Series 2,
yes.
actually.
So that's what I want to hear
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got that.
So I'm wearing it. I happen to be wearing the 42 millimeter one. Normally, okay. I would be wearing the 38 millimeter.
Mm-hmm.
But, so excuse the fact that it looks a little bit big on me. Mm-hmm. But
that's all right. If they're listening, they can't see it anyway.
It otherwise, so... Just getting this out of the way, it basically looks the same as the first generation.
Yeah.
Apple said it is 0.9 millimeters taller on both devices, but you'd have to really do a side-by-side comparison and then start looking at them. When I was at the Apple event last week, yeah. and I had this whole table full of watches in front of me, it didn't immediately click that the dimensions had changed at all. Okay. So you can wear the same bands as the last generation. Mm-hmm. That so if for some reason you were already upgrading from the first generation to the second,
mm-hmm.
You could still use your bands. So, I mean, what really makes it different is the built-in GPS radio, which I'll be using on my training runs this weekend.
Yep.
It's waterproof. I don't have access to a pool, but V has access to water. So he's going to go swimming with it this weekend with his okay. new Series 2 watch. So that's nice. All going to be incorporated into the review that we have coming out next week. And it runs watchOS 3, so it has this mm-hmm. this dock here. But of course, the watchOS 3 software update is also available to the original watch, which is now called the Series 1.
Yeah.
So it comes out of the box, but I don't want to say that the software is one of the things that makes this special.
Because you can get it on the other one, right?
Yeah. Right. So and there's a faster processor inside, mm-hmm. which is also going to ship... starting tomorrow, Friday,
okay.
When this airs, I guess it'll be Friday.
Yeah,
but,
today.
Yeah. So it's about to start shipping in the original Watch 2. So.
Oh, okay. So fewer and fewer differences from
fewer differences. Gen. This is available in a ceramic model that got a lot of attention.
Yeah.
That replaces the gold edition as sort of Apple's luxury. Highest and most premium model. And we're not testing that
yeah.
today.
How much is the porcelain model, by the way? Or the ceramic model, sorry.
Oh gosh, whatever. I should know that offhand. It's more than 1,000, but
it's
I think
like 1,500 or something.
Yeah, okay. It's not. It's lower than 1,500, but more than 1,000. So it's in like the
but not that range. Nearly as ridiculous as the solid.
No,
gold
it's
Apple
not
watch.
A $17,000 watch.
That's good. That's a step in the right direction.
Apple, I mean, seems it's not that Apple doesn't want these devices to be stylish, and indeed, I think the selling point here is that it is. A sports watch that is more stylish than what I could get from Garmin,
yeah.
let's say,
yeah.
or other competing companies, maybe even Fitbit, right?
Definitely more than Fitbit.
Ooh.
I'm wearing the Fitbit Charge 2, guys.
But that's a fitness tracker. That's not
yeah.
like...
Yeah.
It's
I
not
think
meant to be
Fitbit
smart.
Has its own smartwatch equivalent that is, I think, a less attractive product than what you have
oh,
on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fitbit does not. I'm a fan of Fitbit products in general, but they're not really like super attractive.
Right.
They're not stylish. That's not the
Apple.
Word I use.
Apple is stylish, and they want to be stylish, but I think they've lowered their bar to the extent that they want to be a stylish fitness tracker and not
a watch
and not a Rolex
right.
yeah.
competitor.
Well, I mean, I think that's kind of interesting because you know that's a lot of the software updates and the few hardware changes that there are with the Watch Series 2 all seem to be like very fitness focused.
Mm-hmm.
They've kind of realized
yeah.
that the smartwatch, its real home is fitness tracking.
I mean, even with the original, the thing I liked best about it was always the activity app. It was really fun to complete my rings every day mm-hmm. and compete against myself. And I got annoyed if for some reason I forgot my watch or the watch ran out of battery and I didn't get credit for the walking and running I did. But I wouldn't use it for actual runs, at least not with while also wearing my Garmin, because mm-hmm. the distance tracking was so off. And if the distance mm-hmm. tracking is off, so is my pace. And
yep.
I want to know these things in really accurate terms.
Sorry, go ahead.
I know a lot of people who aren't hardcore fitness enthusiasts that buy the Apple Watch as well. And for those people, for me, I'm not a fitness nerd, but I'm a smartwatch like lover. I would want a more stylish option. I would, first of all, want a not-so-square face. The band options are great. I just wish they weren't as expensive. There's that nylon one, which does not look good to me. So I do wish that Apple would kind of make more or take more chances with that. But they also, during the event, didn't they show how they've taken over most of these traditional watch brands as the second top-selling watch in the market, even compared to traditional brands now? They're, like, right under Rolex or something.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, they
so they're kind
that.
Of going after the traditional watch audience as well if they're showing me stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I would question there is Apple may have very different goals in terms of how many units they're going to sell
right.
versus a more limited edition specialty kind of
yeah.
brand. I mean, these Apple Watches, for all we talk about them, are disposable goods. Apple's going to make and sell a lot, and people are going to replace
yeah,
them.
All the time.
And I think that's an important distinction, is nobody yeah. goes out and buys a watch thinking to themselves, I'm going to have to trade in my Timex next year to get the new yeah. one. Like,
right.
that's not how the watch industry works.
No, yeah.
Right. If my expensive Swiss watch I will keep for life, hopefully.
I mean, so I'll keep my cheap American watch for life, probably.
So we're basically saying that units sold is kind of a weird measurement for them to be comparing against these traditional
yes. I just don't think it's
it's not that an apt comparison.
Fair. Yeah.
I mean, I'm more interested in how Apple's watch sales compare, let's say, to Fossil, which also makes
yep. smart watches.
Cheap.
The Q founder.
Well, and cheap watches that you wouldn't expect to own
yep.
forever, you know?
True.
But, or, you know, you can compare specifically smartwatch sales to Samsung smartwatch sales.
Yep.
But
I think that's the more apt thing. Yeah. I mean, here's I have a whole lot of problem with them directly comparing the sales mm-hmm. to watch sales. I mean, because even you're saying Fossil with their cheap disposable, but like a cheap disposable watch, as long as it's not like
you'll still keep it longer.
Yeah.
It's as long as it's not coming in a Happy Meal or out of like a quarter machine at a deli or something.
I
like
love those. Yeah.
You're gonna be holding on to that for years. I've mm-hmm. had the same crappy Timex for at least 5 or 6 years
yeah.
now. I've had some other watch that I picked up at like the MoMA store for almost a decade, and like mm-hmm. we're not talking like a really fancy high end MoMA
yeah.
like thing. Like it's designed well, but it was $110
and also,
watch.
Apple stats reflect its first and only year in
yep.
the watch industry. So
yep.
it's like,
it's a new product, a new space for somebody to be entering.
Right. I mean, I think a better question is how and if will they maintain this momentum
yeah.
going
I mean,
forward.
The fact that they're it's kind of a yearly upgrade thing kind of brings to mind this question. Should you, since there's so little differences between the two series, should you be buying the old one since it's cheaper by $100?
I mean, especially for people like you who don't consider themselves fitness
yeah.
nuts.
I don't need my pace.
And
no.
yeah, if you don't own a smartwatch already, I'd suggest most people buy the Series 1, which, again, is getting upgraded with the same processor.
Yeah.
Will also have watchOS OS 3, and yeah. it'll cost $100 less. I think that'll be important going into holiday season, too.
What is it, $270?
$269 or $249?
Yeah, not that $269 is already a little expensive for, let's
yeah.
say, a stocking stuffer.
Yeah.
But I think it's a more accessible gift for someone than a $369.
For
and
sure.
That puts it more in line with some of the Android Wear watches as well.
Yep.
They weren't competing at the lower end of that market.
Yeah. I mean, the Android Wear watches start at $150.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, keep in mind,
those are not necessarily great products.
Not great,
but
we're talking about a product that, even though it's much improved, our peers in the tech industry are saying it's still something you might want but not need, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So for something that's not a necessity, that no one is saying is a necessity,
yeah.
the price should be as aggressive as possible for
yeah.
Apple.
Agreed. I mean, so my best friend bought the original Apple Watch, and I'm just thinking of whether I should recommend that she buy the new one or if she should go for the $269 one. Do you know if Apple plans to like offer some kind of rebate for people who already own the existing one? It doesn't make sense to just buy a new one to me. You know what I mean? They're not going to.
I haven't heard anything about that.
I'll
I
ask
think.
Them.
Apple is would probably prefer people focus on the software update and
mm-hmm.
the speed improvements and just experience improvements that would bring.
Yeah.
It doesn't, but yeah, it's not quite the same as what you're, not at all the same as what you're suggesting.
Yeah.
It seems like you should probably just hold on to
it. Just hold on to it.
Yeah.
Get that
it's like the every other year upgrade cycle for a phone.
True.
You should probably
especially
do every other model
again,
for the
since
watch
they look
too.
The same, you don't get the status symbol of owning something that looks different. And
nobody's going to know.
Yeah.
You know, if you had, on the flip side, if you had any complaints about the original's design, they're not going to be addressed here.
Right.
Unless your complaints were the GPS and
water resistance,
in which case you might upgrade, or maybe you didn't purchase in the first place because you were
yeah.
upset about those.
But even then, you wouldn't buy the Series 1. You wouldn't buy the,
you'd
buy the more expensive. You'd be investing in a nearly $400 Apple
And that makes sense for those people,
yeah.
I think.
Still, though,
Yeah,
I'm not gonna buy it.
Neither am I, but I also don't understand smartwatches.
I love smartwatches, but I'm
okay with my Timex.
We didn't actually talk about the iPhone 7 Plus's dual camera.
We did not.
But do we and we're going to have to revisit that because one of the most exciting features, the shallow depth of field, is coming through a software update later this fall. So
what?
Yeah, that's all I'm waiting for, and they're making me wait.
So, I mean, we've played with the camera to the extent we can, and Chris was impressed, and it's one of the reasons he gave the Plus a slightly higher score than the 7.
Right.
But we haven't tested it as much as we'd like or as much as, you know. We're going to have to revisit it and probably update our review.
Can't wait. Yeah, because that's the main feature that might make me buy the Plus if I even upgrade this year, because I want that bokeh, the sweet bokeh. It's beautiful. It might make you look good.
Nothing can make
that's
me look
true.
Good.
That's true. Let's be real.
I have a face made for radio, as they like to say.
That only
or podcasting.
I don't
mostly know. Podcasting.
True.
Because radio is a dying form.
That's why you hide it with all that hair, right?
Yeah, it's if I did not have this beard, I would look like a really jacked up 12-year-old, basically.
Okay, sure.
He thinks he's jacked up.
Exactly, I know.
I think that's an excellent place to end this episode.
Jacked up 12-year-olds?
I'm sorry, one day we'll end a podcast without somebody insulting you.
Nah, not going to happen.
No.
Next week we're on vacation, so we'll insult you in your absence.
Yeah.
Yes, please,
remote insult you.
I'm perfectly okay with it. The entire next episode is just dedicated to hurling insults at me.
We're not asking permission. We don't need your permission.
Okay, I'm not.
I'm perfectly okay with the video. I'm a child. I'm a 12-year-old. Like, let's be real. Also, there's a hair in my water, Steve, just so you know. If this is water, not vodka.
It's probably your hair.
Sure it is.
It's not my hair. It's so short. It's like some other kind of hair.
Mm-hmm.
Your beard hair. Oh, my God. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, are we good?
Yeah, we're good. I'm not drinking this.
All right.
Hi, everybody.
Bye,
everybody.
Yeah. Thanks for joining me today, Sherlyn.
Yeah.
Where can the people find you on the internet?
Nowhere. At Snowden. No, okay, fine. At Sherlyn Lowe. Oh, my God, they're staring at me.
Dana, thank you as well. Where can the fine people find you on the internet? On the internet.
I am at Dana Wallman. That is my full name with no space on Twitter. Mm-hmm.
And I am at Terrence O'Brien. Lots of E's, no A's on Twitter. And you can also hit us up at Engadget or at Engadget Podcast on Twitter. You can email us at podcast@engadget.com, or you can just scream into the wind. Basically, though, just send us feedback. Let us know what you think. Send complaints, compliments. Tell Sherlyn to stop being so mean to me all the time. And make sure to join us next week when I am not going to be here and somebody else will be sitting in this seat dealing with Sherlyn's rage and hatred.
I might not be here.
Please make sure to subscribe in iTunes or whatever podcast app of choice. Rate us on there because ratings are good. They help us get more subscribers. Yeah. And I am not going to lie. I completely forgot to get a comment of the week this week. So you're going to be left without one.
You see why I hate him?
But still, I failed at my job, and that's on me.
And the truth is, we don't like reading the comments.
It's true.
You shouldn't either.
No one should.
I don't like reading the comments, but I like reading the comment of the week. And I still kind of enjoy reading your comments, no matter what they are. So thank you for watching and listening, and make sure to join us again next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.